Bass Night here at the Snook River Grill, Bill.
Yeah, it's the Fast Motorsports group. I guess they're still, I don't know what banner he's using now or what checkbook.
Fast Motorsports.
It's cool. Very fast. What are we doing here tonight?
A radio show, internet show.
We're golden. Ladies and gentlemen, we have...
I'm eating a hamburger.
We have everything under control for a change. That's cool.
I forgot to order cheese on my hamburger.
No cheese? Hey, Jimmy, we need cheese on this burger.
That's okay.
Anyway, what's been going on? The Snowball Derby seems to be the big deal.
Big
on
deal.
The
you heading up there? Got your kitchen pass?
I got a kitchen pass, but I still got to get the checkbook to pay for the room. Anyway, the Snowball Derby.
Take the Yukon.
Yeah, that's what I told her.
Take
the back seats down and just sleep in it.
Throw a sleeping bag. You got a sleeping bag?
Rick, don't give her any more ideas. Thank you very much.
Don't take your computer.
No.
All right, Bill Green, are you going to, why don't you turn me down just a little bit?
Jack, who we got on the show tonight?
We have, I put my glasses on, and I'm not quite there yet. So, Bill Green is going to the Snowball Derby on this weekend, correct?
Well, he just said we're not quite sure about that.
We are. We're going. We just got to work
he's
out
got
the
his
there's
timing.
Negotiations underway, I
he's
can
got
tell.
His kitchen pass.
Well,
okay,
here's the
Bill
problem.
Is going, Bill has got his kitchen pass. Let he's me, going to the Snowball Derby.
Let me explain
Derby.
Something.
It took me like 2 hours to figure out what that kitchen pass
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I hear
let me explain something to you.
Okay,
I got a kitchen
quick.
Pass. She said, yes, you could go. She doesn't realize I'd have to leave on Friday morning and I wouldn't get back until Monday.
Bill,
night.
She
does now.
Bill, you have the okay. Don't screw it up.
She does now.
Okay. So we're going to be doing.
Now she's on the
phone. We're going to be doing live updates and all kinds of good stuff. What are we going to do?
Well, I'm going to do my best to give you information every chance I get.
We're
going to
do live interviews.
Qualifying interviews. All
live
kinds of
interviews.
Stuff. Well, we can try. Well,
we're
going to
give
my
it a shot.
I'll use my phone, and you'll be doing it from
now
the
Now that your computer's fixed.
Now that everything's fixed
we
in my
don't
house.
Want to talk
hey,
about that.
Hey, I get a phone
know,
call
know,
last
I
night. He says, what does it mean when it stops detecting IDE drives? I said, your hard drive's dead, I think.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't want to hear that. Google
I've been
it.
Doing this 10 years. It's the first time I've ever had a hard drive.
All back. The computers in my house are fixed. Now Jack's are going quacky.
Okay, so tonight in the house we have J.R. Garcia.
The machine.
I believe we have Matt Cohen. Is that right?
The little machine. Oh, sorry. There's him.
He's talking. He's introducing guests. Easy.
Anthony Campy.
Yep.
I used to call him Sideways Campy, but we won't go there.
With his new website at anthonycampy.com.
Looks good. I'm looking at it right now.
Hey, it's a professional-looking website. They must
Jessica Green.
That.
The whole, Green family.
Jessica.
They had a whole Campy family, too, for that matter.
Yeah, no doubt.
We even let Bobby Deal in the house tonight.
Bobby Deal's got to be here, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great and
he's probably listening.
Bobby Deal.
He's probably listening.
John Sapricone is now getting
when you
in
get
his
on
car
the mic tonight. You can invite
and
him.
And headed this way.
That's up to
We're
you.
We're also
going to
talk to Patrick Starpoli, who won the 100-lap truck race over at the.
Oh, man, 34 trucks.
Yeah.
34 trucks over there.
Yeah.
Patrick Starpoli won. How about that? Isn't that cool?
We're a couple friends were up there said it was a hell of a race.
Tim Bryan, right? We're going to talk to him.
Tim Bryan will be on.
We'll talk to him about the Snowball Derby.
And Tim Bryan is?
Michael Cenci.
He's the man
Drew
in charge.
Brannon.
Talks right
Dalton Zier.
Yeah, I know.
You guys aren't even paying attention.
Dalton Zier.
You weren't paying
we
attention.
We hear everything you say.
Yeah,
we
I heard continue. What you were saying. You're talking about Tim Bryan from Snowball Derby.
Well, they got 141.
You know,
entries
I finally got to see a picture of him.
Bill's getting pretty good at this multi-dexterous.
I finally got to
nonsense.
See a picture of Tim Bryan.
Travis Rowland.
Yeah, he's got to be right at 35 to 40, maybe.
Yeah,
he's not an old guy.
Rick Bristol's going to give us an update about
the Reverend
about the
so far
truckers,
we sat here for 5 minutes
the Hopkins,
and talked over each other.
The Hopkins family.
That is nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Is it 200 lap race?
As far as I know, it's a truck race.
It's the 8th and 9th. The 8th and 9th race fans in Florida got a bit of a challenge. They got what is the date on that modified race at Lakeland?
The 13th.
Yeah.
13th.
So Wednesday.
So on the 8th and 9th, you can
it's
either
the Wednesday night.
You can either pick sprints or trucks, 200-lap truck race, or you can go to there's a big sprint race there, midgets and sprints at DeSoto's Super Speedway. Is that right?
No doubt.
There's also leading up to PRI there, right? Is that not part of that week? And that's
did you get
of
an extra
Orlando
set
Speed
of
World.
Keys made this year?
Orlando Speed World?
Did you get an extra set of keys made this year?
No. I don't need an extra set of keys. I'll just put them in your pocket this time.
Okay, good. All right.
Some sad news in racing.
That's the reminder that last year we got the keys locked in the truck.
You noticed on the message board, they just had Crash Ram up at Orlando, and somebody was asking where the Green Mamba was supposed to be in there.
If we were on it, we would be playing dirge, funeral-type dirge.
Somebody stole the Green Mamba. Somebody stole it. out of the apartment complex, hooked up to the trailer, and drove it away.
Well, I know Rusty quit.
How can you hide the Green Mamba?
It's in a plain white trailer.
Yeah, but I mean, when you roll it out somewhere.
It's in Tampa, and Tampa police have reported that they've got a streak of trailer thefts. And whoever stole this thing
didn't know they
had a Green Mamba in there. So now Doug Rose is begging for the Green Mamba back.
We're going to have a new general manager at Orlando Speed World in the near future. Maybe.
Well, start with what happened. I mean, Rusty.
Rusty Marcus?
Yeah.
He's been there, a couple years, and he retired.
He got the award for
Promoter of the Year, Lowe's Motor Speedway Promoter of the Year. He resigned.
And he resigned.
He's going back to some 50-50 tickets?
No, he didn't resign. He retired.
Retired. Okay, excuse me. Same thing. It's just rearranging the letters in the word. I'm telling you, though, that's just how tough a snapshot is of promoting and racing in Florida.
How tough is it, Bill?
How tough is it, Bill?
Well, we keep losing them. How many owners of Clewiston Speedway have we had?
Maybe it's tough in Tennessee.
Well, it probably is. But how many owners of Clewiston Speedway have we had in the last couple of years?
Owners?
Yeah.
In Clewiston?
Six.
Hendry County?
Six? Seven?
At least
five. Something like that.
At least five.
And it's changed hands that many times, people trying to make it work.
And Bobby Deal is still trucking on. Good job.
Well, we love everybody.
You probably couldn't hear that out there in the internet world. But
no, you'll
he
get
said,
to hear plenty of
he
it.
He said, too stupid to stop. That's what he said.
We don't have to quote him. He'll be here. He's going to get his turn.
All right, I'm
Let's
done.
Let's see here. You are? Well, then I guess I got to get busy and try to get a hold
what
of
What else we got, Rick?
Wow.
Yeah, well, you went too.
We got 3 hours.
You petered out
We got
quick.
2 hours to do 3 hours.
I think we only got an hour and a half show tonight.
Maybe. We don't have a...
Do you know Mark Martin was talking to Dale Jr. about doing a bush ride?
Well, Mark Martin will drive anything, it sounds like to me. He really wants to keep racing. He
just doesn't want to do it. The real problem with that was that...
at the top level.
Junior's car is sponsored by the Navy, and Martin's already hooked up with the Army. So Martin said it's kind of like trying to mix oil and water, so they couldn't make that work.
Wonder who he watches in the Army.
NASCAR's looking to expand. NASCAR is seeking to expand in China and Western Europe. You tell me how that's going to work.
Say what?
NASCAR is seeking to expand in China and Western Europe by marrying its licensing, sponsorship, and media expertise with local partners.
Is this like NASCAR Europe, like NFL Europe or something?
I don't know. What you got, Bill?
I got Tim Bryant from the Snowball Derby, Five Flag Speedway, whatever you want
in beautiful Pensacola, Florida.
How are we doing, buddy?
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey, listen, it has been going spectacular, it looks like to me, the build-up to the Snowball Derby. It looks like you've got guaranteed a full pit, guaranteed a full stands, and a couple of media folks, including me.
Bill wants press credentials.
Well, I just want to be able to get in when I get there and not get embarrassed. I got to buy a ticket.
So. I don't know about any guarantees on any of that stuff. I will say this. I think based on what the parking lot looks like right now, we're going to have an infield full of race cars. I mean, we're staging the tow rigs out in the Speedway parking lot tonight. We'll start parking them tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And, you know, quite honestly, it's going to take a little doing to get them all in there. Of course, part of the reason for that is these guys all got 600 feet long trailers nowadays.
Yeah, I know. How many pre-entries do you have already?
Well, we're at between our Snowball Derby, which is at 78, I believe, and our Snowflake 100, which is our night before 100-lap race, which is at, I believe, 68. You know, we're hovering near 150.
Nice. That's not bad. Now, all of those folks got to practice and qualify and so forth the leading up to that, so they're all going to be there?
Yeah, we'll begin practicing Thursday morning at 10 a.m. The late models will practice all day on Thursday up until 4. Then we've got some local division races we're running on Thursday night. Be back to practicing Friday morning. We got pole position qualifying scheduled for 6 o'clock on Friday night. That will be for Sunday's 300-lap Snowball Derby. Then on Saturday... We qualify the Snowflake 100 cars on Saturday afternoon, and we'll be racing those at 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Wow. Man, there's no time limit, I know, on this stupid thing, crazy race, but how late do you usually wind up running? Do you go to about 10 o'clock or 9, or does go really late?
One of the things we've tried to do here during the course of our regular season racing is start, or we don't have the luxury of being able to start early because we have a Friday night racetrack during the summer. So we start at 8, and we try to have our program done by 11. But we've tried to arrange our schedule this year to where we don't keep people there so late at night. We like the folks that come in from out of state to be able to see our great city and go out and spend some money with our local merchants and that sort of thing. So on Saturday night, we're hoping our races will be over with by 9 o'clock. And then, of course, our Sunday race begins at 2 o'clock, and usually by 4:30 or so, it's over.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to being there. And, of course, not looking forward to that 8-hour drive, but I'm sure that I'll get over it and get excited when I get there.
Well, we hope it'll be worth it for you. We think it will be.
What kind of things are happening now? What kind of things are the community getting into? What kind of things are happening away from the track that are really do involve people coming to the Snowball Derby? Are there things outside the track nearby that people are beefing up for?
One thing, immediately outside the track, we've got motorhomes coming in from all parts of the country. Of course, we don't take up our entire parking lot because we've got to save some room for our fans to park their cars when they get there. But we've got the perimeter of the Speedway property lined with motorhomes, over 300 motorhome spots. We're now diverting motorhome traffic down to the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds, which is just 2 miles south of the Speedway, and then we run a trolley service back and forth. The area motels are filling up, and, this race has actually grown to a point where it's got a pretty huge economic impact on the city of Pensacola.
How many do you seat there, Tim?
Well, we bring in temporary bleachers. We sell 6,500 reserve seat tickets, and, of course, we've got another 3,000 or 4,000general admission seats. And then, of course, our infield on Sunday will be packed. We'll be down to 38 teams in a race. And, our infield will be packed with tailgaters and what have you. So, Lord willing, we'll have us, and some good weather. Why, we may have us 12 or 14,000 there on Sunday, which is not a bad crowd for a half-mile short track.
Hey, Tim, the support classes are looking really good, too. The Superstock, Sportsman, the Bombers, and you've got a great field of modifieds, it looks like.
Yeah, and, we don't run the open wheel modifieds during the regular season here, but it's always been one of the most popular events at the Snowball Derby weekend, and we moved that race over to Saturday afternoon. So, to give those guys more time, more practice, and put a little more emphasis on that race. It also allows us to let our super stock race kind of be the sole highlight of Friday night's program. We are running some mini sportsmen along with it, but we're running that 75-lap super stock race, which it's one of the things our local racers, we've always tried to achieve for them, and that is, this is their Snowball Derby, too. I mean, the Snowball Derby runs at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It's a 300-lap super late model race. But we also consider our sportsman race on Thursday night their Snowball Derby. And then we have a Snowball Derby super stock race on Friday night and the open wheel mods, as you said, on Saturday. So we try to give all those guys, a little bit of the limelight.
Besides the racing, is there anything else going on at the track?
Well, we kick everything off tomorrow night. On Wednesday night, it'll be our third annual Grain Flag Party. And, what that name so that it signifies the beginning of a big race weekend. We've got a live band playing out there. All the late model teams will be staged in their parking stalls, and the cars will be unloaded. The drivers will be signing autographs. We're selling chili for like $2 a bowl and giving 100% of the proceeds to charity. So it's a good community event, and there's no admission for that. So it allows people that might not be sure if they're race fans or not to come out and see what it all looks like.
Now, do you get to invite a lot of the local dignitaries and stuff, the mayor, the county commissioner, or any other people that kind of come out and kind of check out what's going on at the racetrack once a year?
Well, we usually have all the local politicians come out for this event. Last year, our grand marshal was former Congressman Joe Scarborough. This year, we have Admiral Gerald Holwing from the Naval Aviation Museum, who is our Grand Marshal.
Oh, yeah. How'd Joe like to track?
You know what? His eyes were as big around his saucers when he went down the banking hall golf cart when he first got there.
There you go.
He was a real popular figure. He's quite personable anyway. But we're excited about having Vice Admiral Holwing out here. Especially in as much as the Naval Aviation Museum, which is, by the way, one of the largest tourist attractions between New Orleans and Jacksonville. And they are now showing the NASCAR film at their IMAX theater. So it's a great mix, for them to be involved with us.
Well, I know that's one of the things I was just going to ask you. With all the emphasis on patriotism and the things that we try to take care of our men and women in uniform around the world right now, you're right there in the, you know, Central Navy district when it comes to Pensacola, Florida. What kind of things do you do to help interact with that Navy personnel and the Navy folks there?
Well, we always offer military discounts at all of our races, and we have a military appreciation night. And, I mean, you know, we are very aware of the significance of our military installations in our area. Just east of us, we have Hurlburt Field, which is a special operations wing for the United States Air Force, and, of course, Eglin Air Force Base, which is one of the largest Air Force bases in the country with a testing wing out there. And, of course, right here in Pensacola, you know, we have the Naval Air Station. It's home of the Blue Angels, and, I mean, it's just we're a very military-oriented community.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I've spent some time at Hurlburt Field flying MH-53J
Pavlos. We've got the Marine Corps League coming out this week. They're going to be doing some work during the event for the next 4 days.
Oh, cool. Have you got somebody lined up for the big flyby?
You know, my dream is to have a Blue Angels flyby. Unfortunately, they have their homecoming show here in Pensacola in mid-November, and then all the planes go in for maintenance, so they're virtually out of the sky for the Snowball Derby. But we'll send our race off with a bang in some way, I'm sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, we're looking forward to it getting up there, and I'm going to cover it for Karnak.com and Short Track America live from the event, so to speak, as much as I can get across and talk to people and get information back down to get it up on the international web server that we use. So we'll look forward to covering it for you and helping out and maybe getting some more of the word out to people that don't know about it, and maybe they'll make plans for next year if they haven't already this year.
Well, I appreciate you guys, you know, being aware of our existence up here and talking about the Snowball Derby. It's a great event. I mean, we've got some, you know, we got some hot shoes from down your neighborhood that could very well take home the Tom Dawson Trophy. So, you know, we're excited about, you know, racing all across Florida, and we're proud of this event for our Pensacola area.
Yeah, just remember those names, Schofield, Choquette. I got a feeling you'll see them up there in the top. Thanks a bunch, Tim. Thanks a bunch, Tim. We appreciate it, man.
Okay. And, hey, if you guys get a chance, when you get off the air, give me a call back, and we'll make sure all the arrangements are in order for you.
Oh, no problem. I'll give you a shout probably tomorrow morning.
Good deal.
Thanks, man. All right, cool. How's that for updating on the Snowball Derby?
Ain't call Bill's, him back.
Bill's smooth, isn't he?
I'm telling you. Smooth, he's a pro. I can sit here and eat my hamburger.
I'm telling you. He's smooth, man.
Well, we hand it off to Bill.
We try hard. All right, who's up
He's
first?
Our Icky Woods.
What?
He's our Icky Woods.
Yeah.
He's handed it off to Bill.
He's He's sitting in a hot seat already, so I guess we should just roll right on over to him. And he doesn't roll over for anybody, though. Oh, gosh, what a lead-in.
Bobby, that's for damn sure.
Bobby Deal. Bobby Deal, buddy, how you been?
I'm on the air.
He's still alive, folks, still kicking. Everything looks like it's running smooth as silk on the surface, Bobby, but how hard are we paddling underneath?
Well, you know, like a lot of people ask me, how's it feel? And it's like riding a unicycle in a hurricane and trying to juggle, you know.
Why? What's so hard about it, Bob?
Well, it's just, you know, perception's reality, and you just got to keep on that pace.
But you keep looking at car counts and so forth. I mean, you're consistently keeping the same amount of, you know, shows. I mean, the cars are coming to the shows, the trucks, excuse me.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because it's like it's not about me. It never has been, never was meant to be about me. But there's just so many people that are involved throughout the eons. I mean, it's been a decade of making this thing happen. I mean, you were involved. I got Bert Thomas. I got Doug Yeager. I mean,
I saw Pops walk in. Where is he? Oh, there
he is. You know, and everybody progresses. The kids progress. Our officials progress. I mean, he's part of the ASA now, and, you know, you're part of the world media.
Well,
you know?
And speaking of just that, we probably need to kind of take just a two-minute blip and remind people where fast trucks and trucks in Florida kind of came from, the American Race Truck being the first one, I believe, that entered the state and so forth.
Well, I ran Camel GT cars back in the old days in the 80s and things like that, and ended up taking a little bit of a hiatus after about 88, 89, and got back into go-karting, believe it or not, and ended up going to Daytona with a friend of mine, Teddy Kempkins, that was also in my wedding. We were, you know, best friends throughout high school and stuff, and saw one of these trucks, and we were thinking about doing Legends, and ended up buying a truck through a loan from Doug Kenny, and we ended up with the first truck in Blue Sky Realty back in 1996.
Yeah. I don't know what all that was about, but I'll tell you, all the way.
Rick realizes what it's about.
He'll fix it.
Hi, Bert.
All the way from the mountains of Tennessee.
Hand him that one if you don't mind.
Here you go.
Bert Thomas.
Hey, it's a long cord. Reach all the way to Tennessee.
Tennessee. Apparently, they don't have electricity in Tennessee. He hasn't shaved in days.
Yeah, I'm telling you. How's life treating you up there?
Wonderful. Just absolutely love it up there. Beautiful country. God's country.
Well, Bert, man, you've been hopping and jumping because from the time you left Bobby's Fast Truck series, you went like through three things real quick, and suddenly you turned up in the ASA. And not only are you just in the ASA, but you're a big shot in the ASA. And
well, I wouldn't go that far. We're all pretty much equal there. Everybody does a little bit of everything.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, that series is done for the year, but what's it look like next year? Are they going to up the number of races on you or anything? Or?
Yeah, what they've done for the Southern Series, they're trying to schedule six in Florida, at least four. I think they've got four qualified right now.
At different tracks or going to the same track?
Yeah, different tracks. Two more in South Georgia. So they're trying to, you know, I recommended to them they centralize them a little further south for a Southern Series.
Yeah.
Of course, I moved north to get out of the summer heat, and I'll be driving back here several times to get back into it for races. But that goes with the territory.
That's cool. Well, a lot of folks out there know Bert Thomas for all the different series that you've touched base with and tracks you've helped out and along the way. So that's pretty cool. Are you enjoying it?
Absolutely. Absolutely love it. Work with a good bunch of people. One thing I've learned with them, when it says 5:03, it better start at 5:03. I mean, that's Ron and Sandy Varney are real tight on the time schedules.
Well, that's cool. Bobby, you can pick up the other one now. Better, we'll be fine. Bobby, things happening with Fast Motorsports program and everything that goes on in it. And there you go.
The cable's messed up on that one.
Yeah. Okay. No, it was me. Anyway, your series has been gaining ground. You've gotten the name out, the word out. We've gotten bigger and bigger. You've got other things, drifters come on board. A lot of people still aren't picking up on what that's all about. Tell people a little bit more about the things that are happening with your series.
Well, you know, we've come a long way since 1996, and, you know, with the advent of Mark Martin wanting to get Matt involved in starting the Fast Kids program, that absolutely took us out of being a support class and moving into almost the feature range for the short tracks on a Saturday night. But then the drifters came along. That all came out of my classroom where I tried to get my kids convinced that our high school automotive students to let's go stock car racing. And they showed me a new form, which was a lot of smoke, a lot of sideways, and they called it drifting. And the next thing we knew was we got this Fast Drifters and went through a lot of turmoil with the quality of them. But right now there's brand new 350 ZXs out there, the new BMWs. It's going to be a heck of a show this weekend.
I was just laughing a little bit there because when you start talking about smoke around Bobby Deal, people are start looking for mirrors.
I was looking. Exactly.
Because I've heard that a few times. It was all smoke and mirrors.
You guys are rude.
No, it's not.
Well,
no,
you know, perception's reality.
I understand.
And
that's the second time he said that.
Reality.
See, this is a marketing tenet.
It's true.
Well,
I understand. Yeah, but what people hear, whether it be on a message board or other places, is not what they see when they get there. When they get there, they go, wait a minute, this is not what people said it was, and it's not. It's a great show with a lot of great racing. And
Wait a minute. What did they say the show was?
But a lot of these kids and pros do some great racing, and that's what it's all about.
Well, you know, I've got to – there again, it's not about me. Never has been and never will be. It's all about the Fast family, and it's amazing because it's a quality and let's get down to it. It's a racing family. All we've done is allow it to gel together and have a consistency. The Roman Empire failed because the Christians got tired of eating lion meat.
Well, yeah, but you know, Bobby.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, when I went to Hialeah, it was the last time they raced at Hialeah. That was kind of like where I really saw this deal. Here's what it's like. You go into message boards and you listen to people or you read people writing all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of turmoil that goes on between the promoters and things. That's just the nature of the business. And because of the internet, it gets put out in public a lot more than it ever used to prior.
Sure.
Okay? But when I went to Hialeah and I saw the series and just saw it for what it was,
I mean, here's a whole bunch of people who bring out race trucks, and almost all of them are, they look professional. The series is presented in a professional manner, and all that nonsense that you hear, you know, and you know, the conflicts that go on between promoters and stuff, all that goes away because 95% of the race fans don't know anything about that. The people are in the seats, and they see a good series. And that's why you're still here. It's because you put on a good show.
Well, you know, it's, I never wanted to be Barnum and Bailey, but since I've been kind of typecasted into the role, it's kind of neat. You know, I like putting up the posters. I like the whistles and the bells. I it's hard because I used to be a competitor. And, you know, I used to either win or lose like a lot of the racers. And, you know, second place was finishing last. I mean, it didn't matter. But, you know, when you take it over and you start fostering the idea, I've had to take the mentality that I do in my classroom and move it into the racing world. And that is that every racer out there is one of my children or one of my teammates or whatever. And it's all about them. The families that come involved. And just like in education, you try to get the when you're in high school, the high school kid knows more than the parents ever knew. But when the high school kid gets out of there, falls on his face, where's he go?
Back what do you parents. Teach, Bobby?
Automotive.
Automotive?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you've taught all along?
Well, I was a department head teaching technology, which is an upper level.
It was called shop.
Well, it used to be called shop, industrial arts, and I have a master's degree,
industrial
believe it or not.
Industrial arts.
Don't like check my spelling. I teach shop, not English. But
We have observed that.
We realize that.
Well, you know, and people have criticized me in that, and the first thing I say is, you know, you get me. That's truly me in the essence. I may not be able to spell, but my heart's in the right place. And, you know, the idea is it's about you. And getting back to the amazement of the Fast organization, and I say that because it's not just Fast Trucks anymore. It started out as Fast Trucks, and we started out with one truck and $1,500 or $15,000 of Doug Kenny's money, and borrowed it and sold the second truck and third truck and moved up to where we had five trucks to race at DeSoto and had our first exhibition.
Now, that used to be when you put the truck together because you were selling American Race Trucks at one point, right?
We were the...
So you put the trucks together,
we were the first
and,
truck.
And raced them to show them off and hopefully sell them.
Well, I wanted to do it because I had a passion for racing, and I had all my stuff stolen back in 1983 that kind of took me out of the limelight of... I used to race in the time where, you know, Terry Labonte was there, and we used to ride the racetrack together in the Campbell GT Series, but... It ended up that, you know, you have to make a choice. And, you know, I ended up, family's a lot more important than racing, and chose not to pursue a professional career, even though I quit teaching three times. Maybe I'm just a bum when it comes to driving. But anyway, the bottom line is the when I ended up getting to a crossroads of having to make a decision, well, are you going to drive or are you going to compete in your own series? And that happened a lot to do with DeSoto and Bert Thomas. I mean, we went all – remember that race with John?
Well, I remember the first time you were there with three trucks.
Well, that's true. In fact, Bert was part of the original Southern Pro Trucks, which started right after us. And that was a battle from the very beginning about stealing somebody's name because we used to be the Southern Truck Series. And then it was Southern Pro Trucks and the race was on. But – anyway, getting back to the family of the racing, it comes down to this last weekend, and there were five different championships or winning events this weekend by Fast Truck people, and that's what it's all about.
Fast Truck racers, I mean, and drivers, the kids, and so forth. We're going to talk to a lot of those tonight, I believe. So
you have Brandon Johnson, who has won many of our Fast Truck races. He's gone over and ran with the fast cars. And I have to say, you know, there is McDonald's, there is Burger King, there's room for everyone. The idea is that to promote racing is what it's about and to give a quality show.
Give us those five, though, real quick so we don't forget.
Real five, you got the real five. Well, actually, there's a lot more than that. In fact, I keep hearing about it as the day goes on, but we had Brandon Johnson on Friday night won the 75 lap at Orlando, which I guess,
okay.
Was that Rusty's last night?
That's correct.
Could be.
Okay. was the Rusty's Memorial 75 Enduro. That comes out a little funny. But anyway, then we had...
Oh, Bobby.
I just put that together.
I could be an announcer. What do you think?
You could do that.
And memorialize somebody and they're not dead yet.
Well, anyway, we had Drew Brannon, which is... named him Showtime a long time ago because he always had something a little extra. He always had a jump in his step, and he was always on somebody's hood for some reason. He was that way. He won a race.
I know where you're going.
Little Drew Brannon.
David Wilson won, too.
Well, wait a minute. We're not done, but let's
see. He's going.
Drew won a race up at Cordell, which is the Watermelon Capital Race Speedway.
And he couldn't hold the watermelon.
We went out and found the biggest
watermelon we could find, and he couldn't hold it up.
And it was huge. But he won that race, and he won this weekend in his first limited late model race. Beat Jamie Skinner through a rules deal or whatever, but he still won.
That race.
So now we got Rusty, who's no longer memorialized, Jamie Skinner loses. But Drew won, and then David Wilson won the super late models. And David's been one that came out of the Fast Kids again, so... that happened. We had Patrick Scarpoli. Oh, he came out of the Fast Kids.
Yeah.
And he happened to win the Florida State Championship for the Fast Cars State Championship. And to take nothing away from that whole organization, he won a championship. That's something you can put in your portfolio. And then last but not least, old George Morales finally won. One, he's finished second twice with us, but he came back to win the Florida championship for the Fast Car Pro Touring. So, we had five different winners that came through the Fast organization. So,
those kids that are going out and they started out when they were 14, 15, 16, whatever, in the Fast program, and now they've gone on, they stepped out, they started to win those other races and stuff. Is that not one of the best sales programs that you've got going to show that these people are going out winning races after they've walked through the process of spending a year or two in the program?
People ask me why I do it, and to me, that's watching the kid get commended into the Air Force for his, becoming an officer. That's what we're doing it for. I mean, it's neat to be an old guy out there racing and doing the best you can and enjoying the sport, but to see the kids, that's the next generation. I mean, David Wilson's got a Hooters Cup car. We also have several others. Joe Calder has a Hooters Cup car. We're going to see these Fast kids into the big-time leagues very shortly. I mean, Dalton Zier finishing second in the ASA South Championship. This was our 2004. He was a puppy in 2004.
Just getting started.
I don't know where he was 14 years earlier, but it was a fun night because now he's a champion. The whole idea is this is the future, and the neat thing is with the mini cups, now we're dropping them back to 8 years old.
Now, Bert, do you see that coming through the ASA? The younger kids are coming along?
You absolutely do, and what Bobby was saying, it's some pretty stiff competition. We've actually got some teams that fly in their corporate jet. The driver brings a hauler, and the other 14, 18 people come in the corporate jets. So there's some high dollars there.
Ka-ching.
They're not just competing against equals. They're competing against people that have.
And Bobby, we got one of your other kids on the line, Michael Sinze. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're hanging in there. We got Bobby Deal sitting with us and Bert Thomas sitting down to talk with us a minute. How have you, in your growing up in the Fast program, so to speak, how have you felt about how that program started for you? You were a little hesitant, a little nervous getting in. And now, at this point, you're winning races. You're having a good time. How do you feel that the program has treated you?
I think it felt great. Been doing pretty good for me. We're still looking for that first win, and I think this is probably a little bit better than the go-kart, so it's been pretty awesome.
Has it seemed to give you the skills and the needs that you think you will need to go through and move up into late models or wherever you might go from the trucks later on? Has it kind of given you all that seat time that you hear about and done exactly what you felt it needed to do for you?
Yeah, I've been told a lot that, the things that I'm doing now in the trucks, I'll definitely be able to do in the ASA cars, and I'll definitely be probably up there in the front after a few races and a couple more days or months of seat time.
Well, the guy you want to meet and make friends with is Bert Thomas when you get to the ASA South, okay? So just keep that in mind. Say hi, Bert. Michael Sinze.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, great. When are you moving up?
Right now, we're still looking for some sponsors, and my dad thinks he's got a race car that he's looking at in Daytona, so we're looking forward to that.
Well, that's good, because I've already seen several of the Florida boys coming up this next year. Good to see it. I kind of privately root for them when they come up.
Michael, this is Bobby. Hey, congratulations on second. Man, I heard it was so close. It was just a car length away. Man, that's cool. At DeSoto Speedway this last weekend, right? With the adults?
Yeah, I've been running with the adults quite a bit. And I mean, we're starting at 11th out of 12, and Todd Blevins on the radio. Worked my way through the front. Just a little fender damage, easy fix for Saturday night. And I mean, it was so close. I could just taste the victory.
You're still working with Danny Anderson and stuff, right?
Yeah, I was racing with Danny Anderson and just a whole bunch of those other DeSoto guys. And had Danny kind of a little incident, and so it was pretty good to get around him. And
okay, listen.
About fourth, caution came out and moved my way up to second. So.
Well, that's awesome, man. But what I was talking about was, I was going to get to, was that Danny Anderson and the Anderson Automotive team here in Bradenton has helped out so many racers, it seems to me. I mean, he has really put some time and effort into the FAST program, and it's been all over Florida helping racers.
Danny's probably been my biggest critic, and you know what? That's fine. We only get better through our criticisms, and I take it as constructive instead of destructive. But Danny's the first guy to jump under your car if you got a transmission problem. Danny's the first guy if you got a truck that doesn't work, he'll give you his truck. I saw him give Jessica Green his truck after he got out of a race, and he had promised her Todd's truck that just wasn't ready at the end of – Todd had a problem during his pro race,
right,
and gave him the – I mean, she jumped in this truck. And if you see Danny and you see Jessica, poor Jessica.
A little bit of difference. I'm sure she had trouble.
But I mean, this is the guy has had a heart to support the family.
And he stepped up support and is supporting your race this weekend, right?
Oh, he's there. He is the Fast Truck Pro sponsor.
He's the epitome of the Fast family. I mean, he really.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, it's okay to if you have a disagreement with the guy, mom, dad, or Bobby. You know, whatever. Yeah. Danny doesn't make light of it. So,
Michael, how's it been running for the Anderson camp? They kind of give you some pointers, but they work you hard, make you work for getting some, learning, so to speak.
Yeah, a couple of times when I go to a couple of racetracks that are new to me, just this past this season, we went to Orlando, and Danny's been there a few times, so I asked him a couple of pointers about the track, and he's helped me out quite a bit my past rookie year and this year, so. Yeah, he's been helping me out quite a bit.
All right, so what's the short term? What are you doing the rest? Are you doing anything else the rest of this season besides the FAST program, or you got something else up your sleeve to get ready for next year?
Right now, we're going to race this Saturday, and we're going to take my truck home, and I'm going to, by myself, totally take down the whole entire truck and go through it and see if I did a good job and go test it a few times, so. Really, my driving's on the line.
His job's on the line.
Sounds like a project.
Hey, listen, man, you have a great great winter time, and hopefully we'll see you Fast and Furious next year, okay?
We'll see you this weekend.
Saturday night, yeah. Charlotte County Speedway.
All right, buddy, we'll see you there. Tell you what, folks, we're going to take a break. We will be back with Bert Thomas and Bobby Deal, and we'll probably move on over to some of the other youngsters in the crowd and make sure they get home with a decent hour. But don't go far. As Real Racing USA will come back to you right after these messages. We still got Patrick Staropoli. Michael Sinze has just talked to us. Dalton Zier will be by. And J.R. Garcia, the machine, going to drop in and get mechanical.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint Car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Karnak.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Karnak.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact finders combing the short tracks of America, Karnak.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Karnak.com online at KARNAC.com. Or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Karnak.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
You're listening to Real Racing USA, real race talk radio at light speed.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Have you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else? Then the number you need to call is 1-800-332-1992. That's the number for Q Auto and Injury Attorneys. Leonard A. McHugh and Associates can help you achieve the justice you deserve. You've seen Leonard McHugh racing in the Parts Truck Series, and Q Auto and Injury Attorneys have sponsored racing divisions at tracks across Florida. Trust your case to the sponsors of the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. And Q Auto and Injury Attorneys don't just handle injuries resulting from motor vehicle accidents, they also handle all types of injuries. So whether you've been injured as the result of a defective product, a motorcycle accident, or medical treatment, or nursing care, or of course an automobile accident, give the Q Auto and Injury Attorneys a call at 1-800-332-1992. Remember, if you or someone you know experience injury or death caused by someone else, call McHugh or call for more information about the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. 1-800-332-1992. Q Auto and Injury Attorneys.
Hey, you guys can't leave yet. We're back to Real Racing USA here at the Snook River Grill. We got people walking out the door. What's going on? We ain't talking to
nobody. They're not going nowhere.
Put you on the,
they were using our facilities.
Imagine
the beautiful facilities here at the Snook River Grill.
The whole table got up at once, so I was a little scared.
You know, we have sitting here.
Jack didn't ask anybody for the money.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he didn't ask where the money was.
Guess what? We're not going to ask where the money is.
He's so paranoid.
But we might get to some, because I do have some. But right now, we have a young race car driver and almost a grizzled old veteran. Well, almost.
If you go by
12-year-old Matt Cohen.
Do you judge him by the amount of hair?
12-year-old Matt Cohen races in the Fast Kids, coming from Quarter Midgets. This is his first year. And J.R. Garcia, who's the veteran.
J.R. Garcia, the machine, also known as Psycho Clutch.
What are you doing these days? Now what exactly are you involved
trying to run
with?
A business?
Well, right now, during the off season, we're going to push our racing school pretty hard, try and get some more kids recruited for the trucks, and working on the truck with Matt, try and get him acquainted with all the moving parts and mechanisms on the truck. And
now, when Matt came to you, and Mom and Dad probably showed up and decided, well, we're going to give this kid a chance, we'll see if he can go racing or something. He was interested in all this quarter midget stuff. What did you think when you took on this project, so to speak? Because I know it was kind of like, okay, sure, I'll give it a shot to teach him everything. I mean, he wasn't very mechanical, I understand, and yet he's had some good driving skills. So what kind of things do you do and so forth? And Matt, what kind of things did he put you through to teach you things along the way?
He kept on telling me things over and over again. Like, in case if I just made one little mistake, he would tell me to do it over again and just help me get through the way.
Did he have to start with everything from apexing a corner and how to enter, how to exit, how to hit the gas, the brake, and use them in the middle of the corner, all that kind of stuff? Or did you start somewhere else?
He had to teach me all that because I came to him not knowing a thing about racing. So and he taught me everything I know.
Cool. Well, that's awesome, man. How's it been? I mean, he's been almost a year now, hasn't he?
Before? Off and on.
Okay, but how's it been? I mean, you've had one really good licking you took at Orlando, I know, but how's it been otherwise when it comes to, you know, racing with the bigger kids and racing, you know, and trying.
Was it scary when you first went out there?
Yeah, it was really.
How scary was it? Tell us how scary it was.
I thought my legs were shaking. I didn't know.
I know that.
So you're over that now.
But how long did it take to get for the legs to stop shaking?
After like three races, I was kind of getting the groove of it, and I felt a lot more comfortable with the other bigger kids.
So it took you about three races to get comfortable in it.
Now, do you have any other, within this point, I mean, do you have other kids in the fast kids that are friends of yours you hang out with when you're at the track and so forth? Or are you talking to others? Or are you still kind of focusing so much on racing there's not a lot of time for social?
I'm kind of focusing more on racing. I don't really know most of the people yet. But I just want to learn more about the trucks. I know how to work on it and stuff, but.
No, it's not like bumping into someone at Walmart, I realize, but, you know, you don't know who they are.
Where you live, Matt?
I live in Lithia, Florida.
Oh, okay.
No Springs? Lithia Springs, huh?
So which is your favorite track so far, the ones that you raced in? I mean,
probably Auburndale, but I'm more used to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because that's where we've been racing a lot.
Is it me, or is he the only person that's ever said Auburndale first? Because Auburndale's a tough little track, man.
Never talked to Wayne Morris?
That's true. But Auburndale's a tough little track. You get a handle on that one. You can do a lot of things a lot of places with that little track. That's pretty cool. JR, what's it been like, man, to watch him grow and learn? And what's been the hardest thing to teach him, I guess would be a kind of cool question.
The hardest thing to teach him? Restarts. That seems to be the hill we're climbing right now.
Just waits for them to pull away, and then he gasses.
Well, it appears that way, even though he says he's on the gas sometimes. And sometimes we believe it, and sometimes we don't. But he gets better and better each time we go out. And, I try and talk him through it, and I try and throw different ideas, and I try and trick him into doing stuff that he doesn't realize he's doing. And kind of try and teach him that way. You know, sometimes when you tell somebody something like they should hear it, it doesn't exactly compute
like
in their head, so you have to change your wording around to accommodate the person.
How flexible can the whole program be at Ambassador Racing, because that's what we're talking about, Ambassador Racing, Balm, Florida, for kids to come out that don't know anything about racing and get to be good enough with a go-kart that they can move into a truck or something later on? I mean, how difficult is it?
Well, it depends on what the family schedule is like. You know, the more time you can spend around it, the better you can become at it. And that's all what it boils down to. How bad do you want it, and how much time do you want to put into it? You know, we're there. We're doing our thing 7 days a week, 365 days a year pretty much.
It's pretty cool, though. I mean, if a family thinks that their kid might like to do it but yet doesn't want to spend a bunch of money at it right off the bat, they could bring them out, see if they like the racing and so forth, get them into the carts. Carts are pretty fast, and then get a feel for it. And then kind of see if they really take to it or not, right?
Yeah, we have go-karts for the older kids. We have quarter midgets that we try and promote for the younger kids. The quarter midgets is really the way to go for the younger kids, I think, because it gives them the feel of a real race car with a moving suspension. And I see in all the trucks, you know, most of the kids that started out in quarter midgets or something else with a suspension other than just a go-kart seem to excel a little bit quicker.
We're talking to J.R. Garcia from Ambassador Racing and the J.R. Garcia Racing Program, and Matt Cohen, the young man who's been running the FAST program for a while and is 12 years of age. Now, you're coming up on 13 by now, pretty close. You're getting there?
In May, May 12th.
May 12th.
What truck number do you run?
Number 46.
46? Yeah. Well, how'd you get that number?
It was on the truck when you bought it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's how you got it? That's how I got it.
Gotcha. Okay. I think we have one of your fellow racers
Hey.
Here.
Hey, it's the fire plug himself, the old orange car or orange truck, and you don't run that no more. But Drew Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
Is this showtime,
Drew Brandon. Okay. How have you been, man?
I've been pretty good. Came off a good race there at New Smyrna.
Yeah, that's what I hear now. Tell us about that. Do you manage to take it to a lot of folks that didn't think you could?
I kind of surprised myself. I don't know. We got a little incident there with Skinner, but everything turned out pretty good.
Well, now, how much traveling have you had to do? Because you don't. Where do you live still?
Miami, Florida.
Miami. So you got to go a ways to get to any track. 160 miles the closest one, I think. So what's it been like getting out there and getting to the racetrack, getting back home, and having some fun doing some racing?
It's been a pretty hard thing to deal with school and trying to focus on school and racing together. But I think I'm doing a pretty good job at that, being able to take off Fridays to go to the racetrack and still get my tests and everything in. But I think as a whole, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, you must be, because your name keeps popping up in a lot of places, and you, every time you showed up and did a race when I was there, you were always a threat to win any of the kids' program races. What kind of things have been happening behind the scenes? What are we looking at for 2007? Are you going to do any changing of the program, or are you going to stick to the truck?
The plan for 2007 is we're going to run the Goodyear Challenge Series, and if I win with that and win at DeSoto, my dad promised me that we'd get the ASA car and go run with Bobby Deal and the ASA Deal.
So you're going to get to go fast, late models and ASA?
Correct.
Wow, that'd be awesome. That's something to look forward to. Matt, what's your future hold? Are you going to stick to the trucks until you're old enough, I'm sure? Don't get me wrong. I realize you got a ways to go in age here. But is there a kind of like a plan? Are we planned out 5 or 10 years to get headed towards something else?
I'm planning on spending the next year in trucks and maybe the next year after that. But after that, I'm hoping to go to late models, get something a little bit faster, see if I'm good at that, and move on from there.
Bigger and faster, yeah.
All right, bigger and faster.
JR, when you're watching these kids, what stands out to you that you say, okay, this one could do it?
The ability to control their aggression. Some of the kids have a lot of aggression, and they don't know how to harness it, and they just plow into everything. And others have some finesse and really looks like they've been doing it a long time.
So that's, you know, finesse and aggression. But sometimes you need aggression on the track is a good thing.
Aggression is a good thing, as long as you don't knock the wheels off of it trying to go to the front.
Right.
Yeah, and Drew, you're one of the guys that has come along through the program and used to have that situation sometimes. It seemed you get a little hot-headed maybe, or get the aggression adrenaline flowing and make a few mistakes when you did that.
Yes, I have. I'm starting to learn from my mistakes to not finishing any races, but it's another thing I'm working on is finishing races and not tearing stuff up too early in the race.
I'll tell you what, you're doing a much better job at that. We got J.R. Garcia sitting here with us, and Matt Cohen, who is one of the fast kid racers at 12 years of age. How old are you now, Drew?
14.
14, okay. So you're doing a lot of moving, getting ready for those late models and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Matt, you smiled when he was talking about with Drew about aggression. Have you ever gotten really aggressive on the track?
No, wait a minute. Can I rephrase that a little bit? Have you ever gotten mad at one of the other kids because they just didn't seem to treat you right whenever they were racing with you?
Yeah.
You don't have to name names. Just
yeah, I've gotten.
You can if you want.
I've gotten mad quite a few times.
Have you ever done something you probably shouldn't have, like run into them as they went by just because they were ticking you off?
Yes.
So has JR got on you about that?
Yes.
Yeah, have you ever done that, JR?
JR has to fix it.
JR, have you ever done that?
No, sir, absolutely not.
You the man.
I'm serious.
Uncross the fingers.
I'm dead serious. I've never run into anybody after a race because I was upset at what they did.
What about during a race?
During a race, I'll East move Bay you out of the way
Park,
if you're holding
April 3rd,
me up.
Okay. Well,
there's number two. The question, Bill.
We have perception is reality, and
that's
when we have you got to know how to spin.
Controlled aggression.
Controlled aggression.
Drew, what was it like on the big half mile up there at New Smyrna for you?
Fast. Really fast.
That track is unbelievably fast. What did you think about going into three in that bump?
Just hold on, please have brakes, and please sit. That's the three things that were going through my head.
That's it, man.
And how long did it take you before you felt comfortable on that track?
I'd probably say a good 50 to 75 laps. With the brakes on those late models are so much different than with the truck. And the gearing and all that stuff with the trucks, you let off, and it helps slow the car down. But with these open rear ends, it keeps rolling, and it's hard to get used to.
And on the longer tracks, you got more time to hear things in the car and feel things in the car, right?
Yes. I wasn't used to, halfway down the straightaway, the whole rear end would start to vibrate. And that's one thing I had to start getting used to because the truck, we weren't going nowhere near as fast as we are with this late model.
I want to ask you about school, man. What's everybody at school think about you being a racer and winning these races, especially these big ones?
They really don't believe me.
Got to bring the video? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Tell them to call us.
Yeah. Tell them to listen in. They can listen to this next week.
Yeah, I hope they do. Cause,
actually,
you know,
tomorrow morning. But
my Bible teacher is a real good NASCAR fan, and he invited me to go to the races with him. But he really wants to go to one of my races and support me, and I really like that.
Did you tell him you beat Skinner's kid?
I told him that little story, and he started laughing.
Yeah. Matt, what about you, buddy? Going back to school is a little different now that people figured out you're a truck racer?
Yeah, at first they didn't believe me. They thought I was crazy, but then they kind of started believing me. But I brought in pictures of my truck and of me racing.
It's hard for them to believe, because, I mean, at one point now when I started racing with you, or you started racing in the program, you weren't tall as the truck. I mean, when you got out of it, you were still halfway up the window. So it does take a while for people to realize that a kid your size can actually handle a full-size race truck.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, most people kind of laughed because I was so short, and they didn't think I could race, but I'm here now. And
have you ever shown the picture to a little brunette and said, "This is my race
easy,
truck.
Bill."
hey, Drew, is that your dad?
That's not Drew. Drew's on the phone. Okay, Bill.
Okay. Is that your dad?
Yes,
hang in there,
dad.
Drew.
Well, if that's any indication, I think you'll probably be catching up to Anthony Campy back there in size in no time.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Drew, let me ask you, man. Any chance that some of the things you've done out and about in the community, or tell me about them, the things you've done outside of racing to promote racing, what kind of things do you do?
I like going to the track like I did at Ocala and helping out Bobby on the Friday night show, driving around his ATV, you know, telling everybody, ask him to come. But honestly, I haven't done too much. I wish I could get out more, but I'm trying to focus siblings, school, racing, and preparing for the next week, and it's starting to get tough.
Hey, we've got the voice of Christmas past.
Christmas
go,
past.
Go, go.
Hey, Drew, this is Bobby Deal. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you, Bobby?
Congratulations, man. Showtime. When's the last time you picked up a watermelon?
Last time I was with you at Cordell.
You going to do it this weekend?
I hope so. My dad's going to a soccer game with my brother, and I'm trying to find someone to take me up to the race this weekend.
We'll get you that if it's got to be me.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, just want to see you lift that watermelon. I got a big one for you. But you're a lot bigger now. Congratulations on what you did, man. That's cool.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, that's awesome. Drew Brandon, ladies and gentlemen, out of Miami. Drew, talk to us about some of your sponsors, man, before I forget them all, because I can't remember them.
The two major ones that we got is Brandon Specialties. This is my dad, which is my dad's company, which is he's right now paying for the car. And as a little side sponsor, I'd have to say Team Cheetah with Arnold Damaris. They've been helping us out with the trucks, with rear ends and stuff that we need, like at the racetrack a lot. So that's basically it. Right now we're looking for sponsors for next year, Speed Weeks, and getting through the year. But I'd say my dad and Team Cheetah is the two sponsors we got right now.
Well, that's cool. Drew, buddy, we appreciate your time and effort to call in and so forth. We wish we had more time. We got a bunch of folks sitting here dying to get their opportunity to talk about their racing, so we don't want to hold them up either. But thanks so much. Call us back whenever you win another one, all right? We're going to keep talking to you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Drew Brandon, Drew, ladies and gentlemen, out of Miami, Florida.
Now, Matt, I got a question for you. You know, these guys are talking about how small you are or anything. Do you do any kind of workout or anything before a race or to get ready for a race?
No.
That's pretty simple. No.
You don't eat your Wheaties?
I eat vegetables.
What's the longest?
Do you psych up?
What's the longest race you've run so far?
About
25 laps? 35 laps. Were you a little tired after that? Got a little cramp here?
Yeah.
What kind of things have you changed? Do you eat a special meal or do anything special?
No, I just...
You got a 50 coming up, I think, don't you?
Yeah, that's our last race at Charlotte.
So you'll be down in Charlotte this weekend.
We're doing some running, some calisthenics, something to get kind of beefed up for that 50 laps.
Yeah.
When Matt first started racing, he was always eating candy at the races. I've put it into that.
Sweet tooth, huh, there, sugar fix? Yeah, I'm going to go into turn four. Yeah, I can see it. I got 9 kids, man. I know what it's like. Hey, listen, it's been awesome, man, to talk to you, number one, and number two is to watch you grow a little bit. I haven't had that much of an opportunity, but it's been pretty cool, and I know you've gained a lot of ground from where you were to where you are now. J.R. Garcia and Dalton, or excuse me, J.R. Garcia and Matt Cohen sitting
and
talking to us.
You and Jack just are not good with names.
Well, I was trying to get to Dalton Zier. Dalton, how you doing,
hey,
buddy?
J.R.
Good, how about yourself?
Yeah,
oh,
thanks.
We're hanging in there, man. Now, Dalton Zier shows up everywhere. How in the heck do you do that? You have been at every big race in the state of Florida, many of them outside the state of Florida. What are you, man, you got like eight people driving stuff for you, get them places you need to be?
Oh, really? We just want to be getting all the experience we can, while we can, and, you know, trying to make a career out of it. So we're trying to get our name out there, running out every big race we can find, and, you know, a different car every weekend maybe, just having a good old time doing it.
I tell you what, it's been awesome to watch, because I sat at Citrus County about middle of the year and watched you come down from Five Flags after running a race on Friday, come down there and race with the Fast program on Saturday. And then I turned around, and I think like Thursday you were practicing somewhere else, and Friday night you were racing again somewhere else. So, I mean, it seems like you're just really getting out there and getting with it.
Yeah, we try and hit every race we can, and sometimes we're racing two, three times a weekend. And this year was actually one of our slower years, actually.
Wow.
And the year before that, we ran around 70 races that year, and this year we only ran around probably 40 or so.
Now, with all that travel, though, you're not really concentrating on a points program or anything else. You're just getting more and more seat time and more exposure, I take it.
Yeah, we just been running the ASA series this past year, and we just ran for the points. That's the first time we ran for points in a touring division after the Fast Truck. The Fast Truck was our first time we ever been in a touring division, and in that one we won the championship, and this year we came second in the Rookie of the Year and the Points Championship.
Well, that's awesome. And so far, that was 2004, I believe, you won the Points Championship in Fast. And then this year you did with which group? Which traveling group was it?
ASA Late Model Series. It's the ASA Late Model Series Southern Division. It's a new series this year.
Yeah, we just had Bert Thomas on. We were talking about it a little bit.
Hey, Dalton, there's somebody here who wants to say something to you. Hang on just a second. Go ahead.
Hi, Dalton. This is Jessica.
Oh, how you doing, Jessica?
Good. How are you?
Wow. I'm real good. When did you get on the show?
She just snuck up.
Oh.
I would like to say thank you for helping us out with my truck.
We're glad that we could help you guys out with the truck and everything, and we hope that you're running good this weekend, you know? I hope we hope that you do good this weekend.
Well, maybe your dad will hopefully let you come down and watch this race.
Yeah, we might actually be running this weekend. We got to get a car ready for the PRI show first, so
if you get to run this weekend, where are you thinking about going?
Charlotte County.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Everybody, all these truckers are going, and late models, they're all going down there. You know, this is Jessica Green we have with us, who races in the Fast Kids. And we also want to call up here another young man who's been with us before. We're going to talk to him again. Daniel Miller, why don't you come up here and
take Bobby's seat.
Kick Bobby out of that seat.
Daniel, how old are you?
Kick PT out.
Why's your eyes getting all big?
Is this the future?
This is the future, man.
Welcome
to the past.
Uh-huh. Move it, fat boy.
Daniel, be afraid. Be very afraid.
He's a pro. Well,
we're having fun.
Too.
We got like 45 people in the room.
How are you doing tonight, Daniel?
Good.
All right. So what have you been doing since the last time we seen you?
Racing.
What do you think?
What else, Jack?
It's like asking Dalton Zier, what have you been doing since we last saw you? Oh, I've been racing you.
Okay, now here's the quiz we're going to do tonight, okay? When, like, me or Rick or Bill ask you a question, we want at least five words in the sentence, okay? This is a game we're going to play tonight, okay?
How old are you?
So just humor me.
First off, let's tell everybody out there across the world that's listening to us, how old are you?
10.
10 years old. And he's about, how tall are you?
Four foot? 4 foot.
4 foot even. All right. That's
perfect.
Cool. Just so we set it up for everybody. Dalton, how old were you when you started racing?
I was 7 years old when I started racing in Caldwell, Idaho. No, wait, Sand Hollow, Idaho. And when I first started I started out just wanting to be like my dad with the same numbers, same colors and everything. And then we moved here to Florida, ran Bandoleros, and then ran the Fast Truck Series. And then after that, we moved up to Super Late Models and then ASA Late Models.
Wow. And you did that in short order, because how old were you when you first ran your first late model race? You were fairly young.
I just turned 14. The day of my birthday, I ran a super late model race. The rules was that I had to be 14, and it just so happened that there was a big race that night.
Cool. Jessica, how old were you when you started racing?
I was 13.
13, and that was at Auburndale Speedway in those the kids' club cars?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Wait a minute. Somebody get that sound bite. That's the first one.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Don't tell me. Does this young man or young lady over there, is this a young man over there? Is that a young man right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
That's a how long is it going to be before that young one. Man is in a race car?
Hey, we got a mini cup.
He's not. Mama said
Bobby's,
he's not.
Bobby's already wanting to put him in a mini cup.
Mini cup.
What size helmet you wear?
Oh, Dalton, they're doing it tonight.
Hey,
buddy.
Dalton, let me
here.
Ask you a question. You come a long way. In 2004, you won the Fast Kids Championship, and now you've got your own TV show. How's all that affect you? I mean, how do you do your school, being a school teacher? How's that all work?
Well, we just fill in. Like, usually we'll do that on, like, Mondays or Tuesdays with Roger Mealy on that show. And it really helped me a lot in being able to talk in front of a camera and a microphone at the racetracks and everything. And it was a good learning experience, and it's real fun to do, you know. It's having a good old time all the time.
And that's more of a technical type of racetrack, you know, show, right?
Yeah, it's for the local Saturday night race car drivers who looking to just getting into racing and looking to pick up a few tips before they get started.
You know, one thing that I found out that you guys announced over the national TV about the shortening of the push rods on the crate motors, and doesn't that kind of give you like a 1.6 rocker arm advantage? You guys can't use it because you exposed it.
What are you talking about?
Jessica, what's that mean?
Technical.
What does that mean?
Well,
they shorten the rod.
Well, they have a shorter push rod, which makes the rocker arm.
Oh, yeah, that's
angle.
Right. No technical questions for Jessica. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
I stepped over the bounds.
And what happened was it came out at, Dalton was doing a show, and they showcased that, and it turned out to be one of the biggest ways everybody's been making horsepower in the crate motors.
Okay. Dalton.
Well, I got all that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Thanks, Bobby.
Dalton, are you still with us, or did you
got head bolts in your pocket?
Exactly. My name's
Fred. Tell you what. Dalton, what's it like, man, traveling to all these different tracks and getting the opportunities not only to see the tracks but to run well at most of those tracks? It's amazing how well you guys can adapt quickly.
Yeah, that was a big part of it right there. It's just another learning experience for us. I mean, it helps us a lot. I mean, just for, like, you know, when you go to a different track like Charlotte County or so and you race the Saturday night guys, well, we haven't ran the same track all year. You know, we run a different track every week, and you have to adapt to that. And you might not have the perfect setup, but you'll have a strong, consistent setup. And you get to the point where you're just comparing tracks, and pretty soon you know what to put in the car to make it run good at that track.
Ever considered going to dirt?
Yeah, we just went to dirt, and that's still a mystery right now.
Hey, Dalton, before we let you go, man, I got how did racing with the fast kids and fast trucks, how has that helped you? What was that a good learning experience? Tell us about that.
You know, the fast kids and fast truck series was probably our biggest learning experience so far throughout my racing career. And, I mean, we learned a tremendous amount in those trucks. I mean, just driver-wise. And it's helped me to this day on my driving style. So, I mean, it was an excellent series to get into, and I'm glad that's what we decided to do when I first started racing.
Dalton, who's some of the sponsors helping you out?
ProLite with Coleman Racing Products. is our main sponsor in ASA right now, and Circle Track Magazine with the dirt car, and Stock Car Magazine with our late model stock car. So,
good for you. Those are awesome. Bigger and better things coming from Dalton Zero, I'm sure, buddy. We look forward to seeing you. In a parting question, last question you're going to get, why did you not decide to go to the Snowball Derby?
Well, we're actually, we have like three cars to build before next year, so we're kind of, there isn't much of an off season for us until now, and we got to take this time to, you know, set up these cars and get them rebuilt. And, I mean, it's easier to rebuild a car from the ground up than it is to tear one completely apart. Look at all the problems that we had. I mean, you know, the failures or wore out parts, and then find out what we need to replace, and then replace them.
Well, I understand.
Three steps to three or four cars, you know, and a lot of work that we have to do before we can go racing again.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out from that busy schedule to talk to us tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing you down here in the South this weekend.
Well, I'm glad to be on the show.
Thanks a bunch. Dalton
Zier.
Dalton Zier, ladies and gentlemen, coming.
Hey, Bill, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back with Jessica and Daniel.
Guy wants breaks all the time. What, you going to go tinkle again?
No, CJ's in the house.
CJ's in the house. All right, man. But don't go far, folks. We'll be back with Jessica Green.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly by night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the best internet radio show ever,
Church Talk America.
Welcome back to the Snook River Grill, Real Racing USA, as we make it look like it's smooth and easy going. But
hey, Bill, ride, real quick, we gotta thank Rick and Susan from Fast Time Productions for coming back in the house with us. We missed you guys.
Hello.
Well,
difficult.
Yeah, difficult. And we still have Jessica Green with
Jeff
us.
Jeff Green sitting here with
Miller.
Us. Daniel Miller.
We got Anthony Campy, who's going to be with us in a few minutes.
And let's go to the biggest kid of them all as we talk to Rick Bristol. How you doing, buddy?
The Reverend.
The biggest kid of them all. I know I'm large, but
all right, Rick. I've told Bill you got 3 minutes of fame. Let's get it on. What's
the latest?
What's the latest?
Well, the latest is we're just working hard to try to get everybody there. And since you got a bunch of truck people there tonight, and I heard Bobby Deal was there, so I was going to call and barrage him like some other people like to do, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be nice.
We didn't bring the Godfather music tonight.
But while you got them there, I'll be down there Saturday, and we're hoping that after the everybody gets through the big 100 lapper that they have trucks left, and we'll be there so we can get some entries and talk to the drivers there. But we're working hard. Had a bunch of phone calls today, so
Rick,
starting to pick up a little bit here, and I kind of figured it would get down to crunch time, and it'll be going crazy next week, but. We're excited. We think it's going to be good. We got a lot of neat things and surprises out there. We just think it's going to turn out to be good. And the whole deal is we just need to help Tommy and his family. And
Rick?
The rest of the stuff will take care of itself. Yes, sir.
Hey, Rick, no, what I was thinking was that several times in the past couple of months, you have stated in several media places that you are kind of worried about the number of trucks left at the end of the year, because you know how people battle for points, and they sometimes tear them up, and they don't want to fix them again until deep into the wintertime. Is that a real concern, having some pre-entries
that may not
be able to make it?
It is a concern. I knew when Bobby had to move his date that was going to be a problem. It was going to hurt a little bit. But, again, I'm not, I'm for truck racing, and I'm not out to look for anything being number one. I understand they got a race, and he's got a great weekend plan, and I hope all that goes well. I just hope that we don't tear up so many that the guys that want to come and have said they would come won't tear them up. But I think we'll be okay.
Rick, I already checked with the powers that be. You're going to have plenty. You're going to have more trucks than you ever thought you would have. Trust me.
Yeah,
it's
Bobby
coming.
Said Bobby's promising 100 laps of green flag racing and no wrecks.
Well, you know what? That'd be really cool. That would be cool, and that'd be great. But we picked up some from the race this past weekend. Guys, again, had to make sure they had trucks, and we picked up some there. And we're hoping to pick up some more after this. And I think we'll have plenty of trucks, and we'll have a good show. That's what we want.
And you got some really good guys coming. I mean, isn't like Wayne Jefferson racing?
Yeah, we got Wayne Jefferson in a truck, and I got
Sandbagger.
I heard about something today that might be kind of cool.
J.R. Garcia is racing.
He's trying to tell us something.
What's he telling?
For Frenchie. He's going to drive for Buckethead.
He's
going to drive his old truck, and he'll be there. But we got some good drivers. We really do. And I've got Chad Pierce, who races a late model up at Orlando. He's going to be driving in my car. I mean, we got a bunch of good shoes that'll be there, along with the guys that'll come. I mean, we're expecting a bunch of good trucks, and if we have a good solid race, that's all we're looking for. And of course, the main thing is that we'll be able to help the family out. And I just want we've been trying to push selling tickets, and I've got tickets for sale. I've got some radio ads, thanks to. Ram Transport for sponsoring Pole Night. We've been able to use their money, $1,000 he donated that we could use for advertising. We've got that going for the next 2 weeks on radio. And it doesn't buy a ton, but it buys some. And I've been out passing out flyers everywhere. And then what I did is I said, you know what, if I could sell 1,500 tickets, I'd be happy. But I had 5,000 tickets made. So what I've been doing around Orlando is I've been going around to all the auto parts places, all the tire places, oil change places, and I've been giving out tickets. And I'll get people
That's
out there, and when they get out there and they hear about Tommy and the raffles and all the stuff we'll have out there, we'll still raise a bunch.
Okay,
of
Rick, real quick,
how
do we get a hold of you? What's the information, website, and everything?
Well, the website is carsracermarketingalltogether.com. You can call me at 407-497-0448. Or my famous email, which you guys know by heart.
Please deposit 10 cents from me.
rb68@aol.com. But, if you got anything you come up with here at the last minute for raffle prizes, celebrity auction stuff, we're still working on some of that. So that's our, things we're concentrating on now, and then just getting people out there.
All right,
Orlando Speed World, December 8th and 9th.
Too bad you can't hit or hear that on the web.
It's too bad.
All right, Rick, great talking to you again, brother.
Yeah, thanks, and to all the guys down there, you know, thanks for coming out and supporting their show, and I think it gives you guys great exposure. It's something that's needed all the way around, you know, everywhere, so I'm glad that they've been able to do this and have the Fast Series out there, and good luck this weekend, and we'll see everybody down there.
Sorry, all right, we'll talk to you soon, over. Rick.
All right, see you.
Bye, Rick.
So, Jessica, you're racing in this race, right?
No, not the 200 lapper.
Oh, you're not
going
to do it?
No.
Give your truck to Matt.
Oh, man.
Give your truck to Daniel. Daniel will run it.
He's not old enough.
Oh, okay.
Well, that blows
We can scrub it.
I was going to ask her whether she could go out and, compete against,
She could put Short Track USA on it.
So if you put two rounds of wedge in your truck, Jessica, does it tighten it up or loosen it?
Tighten it up. It depends where you put it, too.
So I'm talking to the microphone.
Oh,
see, you know. You fib to me.
What was the answer to that question?
It would tighten it up.
Jessica, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you started racing, and where you are right now.
I started racing in August of 2003 at Arbondale Speedway, and I just gotten into it with watching my dad and, you know, my family members racing. I just grew up with it my whole life. And right now I'm racing in the Fast Kids division. I'm 6th in points, and hopefully next year we can get a late model, run fast late models with Bobby, and go to ASA.
So the other girls at school, do they think you're crazy for doing this, or what do they think?
Yeah, some of the girls really don't like talking to me because the guys, you know, they always ask me questions. So that's about it.
What about the guys?
At first they didn't want to believe me because I'm a girl, and they're just like, no way. And I brung in pictures and everything and went down to automotive and showed them, and we all get along and just talk about cars.
So are you really, are you getting into this? Do you really enjoy this?
Yeah, I love it.
And it's something that you really want to do?
Yeah, I want to go to NASCAR, so that's what I'm hoping for.
Cool deal. What, Bill? Daniel, what do you think? What do you think of a girl being in racing? You tell me. Come on, dog. Speak up.
It's weird.
It's weird. Why is it weird?
Cooties on the other side of the track, huh?
Easy, Bill. Go ahead. Why do you think it's weird?
Because you would think only boys would race because NASCAR, they don't have any girls.
Is that the kind of thing that you're getting, Jessica? I mean, are guys saying that to you?
Yeah, that's why they don't want to believe me mainly, because I'm a girl. So they think it's pretty amazing that I know how to work on them, change engines and transmissions and do things like that. And
yeah, they can't.
Yeah,
right.
Of them don't even know how to change a tire.
Right.
You're kidding.
No, actually, some kid broke down and I had to help him change his tire because he didn't know how.
You go, girl. You go.
All right.
Heck yeah. Who's some of the people helping you with that car, Jessica? The truck.
The truck?
Yeah.
Basically, my dad and me have been working on it. Zero Racing, though, has helped us out tremendously. Without them, I don't know what we'd be doing right now. We've been chasing that truck all year. And they got it turning for us, and we're rock and rolling.
All right. Well, I'm looking at your website right now, and there's a pretty famous name on here as your spotter, Ernie Bass.
Yeah.
Ernie's been around a long time.
He has been helping us out, and when Sean moved up to late models, they haven't been to our races, and he's been really busy with him. So we had Oz actually spotting for us, which he's on Roadrunner's racing crew, and he's been helping us out a lot, too.
So you weren't nervous at all. You were great.
Very good. You'll be at Charlotte County Speedway Saturday night.
Correct.
All right.
All right, Jessica, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
We got another
Jessica
guy that's
Green,
been passing through the
Daniel
Fast
Miller.
Program on the line. Travis Rowland calling in. Travis, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about y'all?
Now, Travis, do you get a chance to watch the kids in their races sometimes?
Oh, yeah. About every time we run, I try to watch them.
What do you think of this crop of youngsters that are 12 to 16 years of age that are racing in those big, powerful trucks?
I think it's great. They really do a good job.
Now, Travis, a lot of folks don't recognize the name unless you've been around the Fast program some. What part of racing did you come from? Where did you start? How old were you? That kind of stuff.
I started when I was 7 years old in WK go-kart, and then moved up through dirt bikes, and then into street stocks and on into the trucks.
Hey, give me a second. Thanks, Mr. Miller. Have a nice day. Daniel heading away from the table as we get Two guys to sit down that you probably will recognize. In fact, you guys say hi to Travis. We'll see if you fix up who's who.
How you doing, Travis?
Pretty good.
You know who that was?
I can't tell.
I know. It's hard to tell.
Big Blue Ford.
Go ahead.
Hey, Travis. It's Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Anthony Campy and our good friend from down the street, Mr. Anderson, stopping by to say hi. How's it been? I mean, it's been an up and down year. It seemed a little bit. You started off really hot and then kind of cooled off in the middle, and now you're starting to get going again. What's been the deal? Travis?
Sorry, I lost you for just a second.
Oh, did you? Well, don't drop the phone. I said that you started off for a fairly hot. You were racing really good at the beginning of the year, kind of leveled off in the middle, and then you seem to be picking it back up again. What's been the deal? Why did that happen that way?
Just circumstances. We've been caught up in a few things, but I think it's going real good. I mean, I'm really pleased being the first year in the trucks. I mean, I think we've only had two finishes outside of the top five, it's been going pretty good. I'm happy with it.
Well, I tell you what, you've been putting in some time and effort, a lot of practices and so forth. You see at and get the chance though to see your name a lot. Top tens and top five still coming, so hopefully it'll pick back up here end of the year. And what's the program for next year? I guess I should ask at this point. We only got a couple of races left.
Yeah, we've actually purchased the late model. Going to try to do some of the crate motor late model races, and not sure yet if we're going to be able to keep the truck or not. But I definitely love the trucks. I hate to see it go, but try the hand of the late model, see what happens.
Well, I'm sure you'll be just as successful and just as committed to it, so it's always going to work out for you. But we appreciate your time and effort tonight. We got so many things going on and so many people happening. I don't want to cut you too short. Give me some of your sponsors. Talk to me about them and some of the things going on.
We have the Beast Energy Drink, which is a new kind of energy drink trying to get into this part of the country. And then I have some local sponsors, which is Polk County Hauling and Florida Barnes. And then we have our company, of course, which is TRM Installation. And that's really about it.
Wow. Well, I know you're making it work on a shoestring budget sometimes, but that's awesome. And Beast Energy Drink, you should hook us up with them. We'd like to get them over here on the radio a little bit. That'd be kind of neat.
You don't need that, Bill.
I know. It just sounds like a good name, Beast Energy Drink. Thanks, man, so much for the time. We appreciate
it. No problem.
Travis, take care of yourself, buddy. We'll see you out there and about. And, of course, I'm sure we'll see you at Charlotte County.
Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Danny Anderson joined us here in the hot seat. Danny, you've seen us, you know, interviewing all these kids. You've helped a lot of these kids. There's a lot of people that don't like kids in racing. What are your feelings?
Well,
are they Adam? Bah, humbug.
In the beginning,
would you say, Bobby, are they edible? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. If they start in front of me, I kind of... No, I'm just kidding. In the beginning, I really didn't like it. I kind of... I was more afraid of hurting the kids. You know, I coach soccer, and so I've been bringing them up, and I always notice whenever you put a big kid against a little kid, you always kind of get mixed feelings with parents, and you're always afraid of one getting hurt, and same kind of felt through with the racing. But since the Fast Kids started, you kind of learn to live with it, and you just try to capitalize on it and try to help out best you can and teach them what you know, and hopefully it rubs off and they can actually drive like adults, like Mr. Campy sitting beside me. You know,
it's pretty amazing, though, how these kids adapt to this so quick. You know, we see a lot of guys, me working at DeSoto and being around racing all over the state and stuff. You watch a lot of guys, you see a lot of guys that are racing at the same track over and over and over again, and it's like they just don't get it.
Well, it's taken me, 3 years in a truck, 4 years in a truck to finally learn how to drive it. You know, first year all I did was, you know, I prayed I'd finish on the same lap, you know, and then the following year I prayed that I wouldn't spin out at least once a race, and then, you know, this year, if I don't hit the top 10, I get pissed, you know, mad at myself, so.
Right.
You know, so it's like
it's the internet. You can say this.
These
it's
kids
a
are coming
show.
In,
it's
and
a
these kids are coming in and qualifying better than 90% of the adults, and they drive a really good race. You know, yeah, you're right. You know, like I said, it's taken me 4 years, and it's taken these kids 3 months. You know,
right,
doing a
and
really
I mean
good
they
job.
Adapt so fast.
How many races have you won now? Because
we got four this year.
I was going to say,
yeah, we're doing pretty good.
Well, that's good.
Really yeah, he
good.
Won when we went to New Smyrna.
How happy
he was
mad
it? As hell.
Number one, how happy was it that you not only won at DeSoto, but won on the night you did with Todd coming back to the team and helping him?
That was incredible. That was a pretty emotional night for Todd, you know. It was a we just put the design on the hood the week before, and I won that. The first race I won out there, I just had the design on the hood, and the following week, Todd came out. We won back to back. We were going for three, you know, came in second, the third race. But
now you look to me like it's still just to think about it yeah. gets you choked up.
Well, it does choke me up.
I did the interview in the Winner's Circle. I'm going to tell you what, that was one emotional scene right down there in that Winner's Circle.
And for well, all those folks right. that are out there that have no clue what we're talking about, Todd Blevins, one of the gentlemen who not only raced and has raced and still races in Central Florida in the truck program and so forth, worked with Danny Anderson and his teams. And lost his son in a tragic accident on one weekend in a swimming pool, and came back to racing about 3 or 4 weeks later. And Danny won that race, one of his first race ever to win at DeSoto. And every fan that knew anything about racing and knew Todd felt what you guys felt down there, and how powerful and wonderful it was for you guys to get in the winner's circle.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, no doubt.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
It was just really good to get Todd back out, though, too, you know. Yeah.
Just, he's a wonderful guy.
He did say how much it meant to him to be back in behind the wheel and how good it felt.
What'd you do different this year to start win four races, you know, click off four of them this year?
Well, you know, we got a lot of help from Todd Blevins, and we got a lot of help from Josh Schmidt, who's no longer with us. We got a job with Kevin Harvick up there in North Carolina.
Imagine but, that. You don't pay that kind of money? Come on.
No.
Don't ask, Jack.
Yeah. They taught me a lot, and, you know, I knew a little bit, and they taught me a lot more, and, you know, we just put our heads together, and every week we get better and better. I mean, right now we're probably faster than we've ever been.
And you always travel with two trucks.
Always.
And now, all the time, if your truck's running fine and running great, you put somebody else in that other truck, whether it be Todd or somebody who's broken, wrecked, or done something that needs a truck.
That is correct.
It's just amazing that you got that kind of commitment to help the racing family, the Fast family, like Bobby talks about, at that level.
You know, I love to win. Everybody likes to win. But it comes down to, you know, when somebody's race car breaks or you get in a wreck, you know I, how much time and effort and heart I put into something, that same person puts the same in there. So if they don't get a chance to race, you know, it's a real big letdown. So if I have a chance to help somebody that evening, it makes me feel better to race somebody that's going to be able to race. Plus, it gets my name out there. That feeling is better than a win.
How many times have you been beat by your own truck?
Never.
Rarely. Oh, okay. Just checking. Just
I try to put them in the slower truck. No, I take that back. Michael's beat me. Every time we race at DeSoto, he beats me. You know, it's a curse.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's awesome and stuff. What's kind of the future? Is Danny Anderson going to stay where he's at and keep trucking along and having fun and doing what you're doing, or you got any plans to go along with these youngsters that you've been helping out as they get bigger, better, and start to move on to other things?
We got Michael says he's going to stay with us again for another year at least. I'm bringing up Tyler Lau from DeSoto Speedway. You know, he came second in points in our pure stock, and he's won, six races in the pure stock this year, and he's drove a couple truck races, so he wants to drive a couple. He's going to be this week. As a matter of fact, he's going to make his first fast truck debut this weekend.
So we haven't announced it, but we have the Danny Anderson Development Program going on in the state of Florida.
How do you get
who gets the money? Who gets the money?
Okay, that's enough.
Who brings the money? Oh, sorry.
Danny does. Danny
right.
provides the trucks.
Danny brings the trucks and
brings
the money.
The trucks, puts the kids in them, straps them in.
And you know what? It says a lot for me. Every time I pass your building down there on the little corner that you're on in 7th and whatever, it's packed with cars and vehicles being worked on. So you've been around doing it long enough, people realize they get a good job from a good guy. But, I mean, those kind of things.
My daughters help keep them in business.
Those kind of things happening and you just being here in this community in itself and then being in the big racing community, it's just amazing how many people know when I talk about Danny Anderson who that is. You'd be surprised. Who you know, I've been in places where, Danny Anderson, I know him.
He's on a good corner in range.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That's a good corner.
That's what it's all about.
And I sell him a lot of parts.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So, I don't sorry. I've gotten way off the track here with Michael. Keep going, Bill.
You're on a roll, man.
Michael, what's it like, buddy, to not only get to race with these
Michael?
Kind of
caliber, Anthony. Who's Michael?
It's Anthony.
Well, Anthony, to get to race with these kind of people.
I swear I'm going to have to sit here with cards in my hands. Okay, this is your next guest, Jack.
Hey, Anthony, Bill? Let me ask you a question. You're going into the final race of the year at Charlotte County Speedway with, I think, a 40-point lead. You think you can handle this?
Yeah, it should be pretty fun. Just want to keep all the fenders on the truck and finish the race.
There's no Orlando wall there, man.
Yeah, I know. That's good.
That had to be the hardest hit of the season or two seasons that I was
around. You were announcing that race,
yes,
you?
I was, and it scared the hell out of you.
That's right. I remember you telling me that. Yeah,
he went down the back stretch at Orlando, slid out to the wall, and I believe, unfortunately, Mr. Cohen was out there and kind of tripped him up and pointed him dead into that piece of wall that's in the middle of the getting off and on the track, and it just stopped. And I went, oh, this ain't good.
So you think you can handle it?
Yeah.
Oh, great. We got that problem again?
Good. Anyway, borrow that microphone.
Anyway, did that get your attention, so to speak? Did that kind of scare you a little bit?
Oh, a little bit, because I couldn't walk for like a week. I was just glad that we had 2 weeks off so I could recover so we can come back to Citrus in a borrowed truck.
Wow. That was amazing.
Your question, Jack?
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Do you think you can handle it?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. Just as long as it's not more than 20 trucks and we finish the race and we keep all the fenders on and come home with a clean top five, everybody should be pretty happy.
You've been very consistent all year, you've had only a couple of, outside the top five, right? You've only had a few bad races.
It's usually first, second, or third, or a total truck, so.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was going through the whole year trying to find all the races. I didn't look at them all, but
that's the new
I only
slogan.
Found the one that you were out.
That's the new slogan for the back of your truck. Win it or wreck it.
Yeah, hopefully we could change that to just win it. But
so how is this your second year in the Fast Kids?
Well, last year we ran like five or six races, and then so this is sort of our first year in a way.
Right, it was your first full year you went at it.
Yeah.
What has been the what's the biggest things that you've taken out of this year's experiences?
Just to have a lot of patience when you're behind somebody and you're a lot faster, not to knock them out of the way, because they have that rule when you take them out, you have to go all the way to the back.
Isn't that a sucky rule?
If you could just move people. Danny would have won
Danny
races a long time
like
ago.
That.
It's all right, but it teaches you a lot about racing and how to be patient and keep the fenders on everything.
Well, and that's one of the things I mentioned when I talked to you before we even started the show, that you're not wrecking or banging them up as much as you used to, and that comes with that experience, the seat time, the patience, and so forth. It's amazing the ability you have, though, because I've seen things that you've done that people didn't really recognize maybe at first. Was sometimes you'll wait until you know, okay, I've got to make a try now, and you will make that outside try or something and make it stick, because you're committed and you're willing to go out there and give it your all. And a couple of times it's gotten you in trouble, but most of the time it comes out, you gain a spot or two, or maybe win the race.
Gets the best of them.
That's right.
Yeah, we tried that last weekend at Charlotte for the second time. That was the second time after the Orlando race we've tried the outside. And we cleared them, but the yellow came out, so they go back to the last caution. And then they ended up getting tangled up with the first place car, which put us in second. And if we weren't in points, I think I would have tried maybe ruin them out of the way a little bit, but I was happy with getting second and just gaining more points on the second place.
You mentioned since Orlando, but has it been difficult to pull out from behind one of those trucks and see that wall coming up out of turn four or out of turn two, knowing what happened in Orlando?
No, I don't even think about it anymore.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if that was something that was kind of playing tricks on you, because a lot of times people, I've seen it in sprint cars a lot. Kids are just daredevils. They have no fear at all until they tumble down the front stretch one time, and then suddenly they're getting a little bit more cautious. So I would thought maybe that threw some caution into you, and that's good.
Yeah, the only thing about wrecking Orlando, it really makes you appreciate all the work you put into the truck and stuff after that, because we had to rebuild a whole truck, and it really makes you appreciate all your own equipment and treat it right and everything.
Now, you got some of the coolest sponsors in the whole deal. Talk to us about what's it like.
Yeah, we have some pretty good sponsors. We have Waterside Realty, McDonough Plumbing, Campy Co., VIP Pools, Bodie's Automotive, and Custom Carts. That's and it. Royalties, of course.
And the royalties,
I was
course.
Waiting. I was waiting.
We were waiting.
Oh,
for that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, geez, they got all these nice shirts and uniforms. Isn't he going to say something about that?
So Anthony, as this year went on, as you went through the races during this year, how were you able to get your head around the idea that it was okay to finish second and third? Because like several times
that's
it's been mentioned here tonight, that, you know, it's like you either win or you lose. I remember Terry Lamonte won a NASCAR championship without ever winning a race.
That's correct.
It happens. And so how did you get your head around the idea that it was okay to finish second or third and not to feel like you lost?
Well, running the points, you got to do that a lot, because there's a couple of times I could have tried for first and half the chance would have been wrecking, half the chance would have been winning. But if we weren't running for points, I don't look at it like it's okay to finish second. But since we are, you know, you got to be conservative and just get all the points you can.
So you're looking for the big picture.
Yeah, basically.
And that's how most all the kids' races should be run, and I hope all the kids are thinking that way, because, let's face it, you ain't going to win it and win some extra money or something. I mean, you gotta use your head when you're doing that stuff, because it's the long, big picture. Awesome job, brother. Glad to have you stop by and talk to us, and we've enjoyed
it. Yeah, we're not done with him. Hang out for a little while. We're going to talk to – why don't we take a break and come back and talk to Patrick Staropoli?
Yeah, we'll do that. Danny, don't go away. We'll talk about your sponsors and stuff and the people you've sponsored when we come back after this one. Folks, don't go away. It's Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill. We're live and on time down here. Come on by. Drop by and see us any Tuesday night between 7 and 9. Be more than happy to have you, your race team, your race gurus, anybody else you want to bring
Old
with
fan
you.
Fan Damley. Seem to work okay there.
Yeah, it's working fine.
It's cracking.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint Car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Kardak.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Kardak.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact-finders combing the short tracks of America, Kardak.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Kardak.com online at karnac.com or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Kardak.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
You're listening to Real Racing USA, real race talk radio at light speed.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Have you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else? Then the number you need to call is 1-800-332-1992. That's the number for Q Auto and Injury Attorney. Leonard A. McHugh and Associates can help you achieve...
Carl Green to the front, please. Carl Green to the front.
...racing in the parts truck series, and Q Auto and Injury Attorneys have sponsored racing divisions and tracks across Florida. Trust your case to the sponsors of the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. And Q Auto and Injury Attorneys don't just handle injuries resulting from motor vehicle accidents. They also handle all types of injuries. So whether you've been injured as the result of a defective product, a motorcycle accident, or medical treatment, or nursing care, or of course an automobile accident, give the Q Auto and Injury Attorneys a call at 1-800-332-1992. Remember, if you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else, call McHugh or call for more information about the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. 1-800-332-1992. Q Auto and Injury Attorneys.
Nope.
right, welcome back to the Snook River Grill here with Real Racing USA as we jockey around. We got more people sitting down now than we got microphones, so this should be interesting, to say the least. I think we got, for all the kids we've talked to so far, Rick, I believe we're now fixing to talk to their mentors, their fathers, their promoters, their whatever.
The promoters?
Well, they're the guy.
They're the ones who get the money.
Get the money. Who gets the money?
Well, actually, you know, you guys asked.
You got to turn it on.
I know you're loud, Bobby, but
Askley.
How many of them Roman Cokes you had, brother?
I'm not an English teacher, but actually, you guys were asking about the Fast Truck Series and the Fast Family and how it's been there and you know why it's successful. And I can only say the reason it's successful is because of the roots of the family type of concept. And, you know, within it we have generations of racers.
Introduce us to some of those.
Well, Carl Green was and has helped us in our tech area for how many years, Carl?
I would say probably about 5.
Wrong microphone, number one. Number okay. two, you got to turn it on.
Okay.
Okay, we always get
I guess this one's on.
There you
okay.
go.
I guess 5 years.
So Carl was in our tech area for 5 years and making sure we had a level playing field. And Jessica came along, and it was really neat because Jessica was our trophy queen and gave out the trophies and helped us out in holding the banners up and doing whatever it took.
That just didn't do it for you, did it?
Oh, my gosh.
But now she moved up into throttle control queen. But anyway, so Carl's been there as a father. And then we have the Monarch, the Campies that has been around. Oh, where are y'all from?
Long Island, New York.
Long Island, New York. And that's where they make it happen, right?
Yeah, a lot of good races came out of Long Island.
What speedway would you guys associate with?
We raced at Freeport Speedway. The famous speedway right now, there's only one left on Long Island, is Riverhead Speedway.
And that's it?
That's it. Charlie Jezumbach, that's the uncles of the Jezumbach Jack, the Brunhuzzle Jack. They're from Riverhead, and Charlie Jezumbach got killed in Martinsville. He would have been one of the great ones. That's really about it. We raced at Freeport Speedway, myself and my brothers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when the Campy Camp came into the Fast Truck organization, you know, I had to go up and meet some of the elders, and you know, it was really funny because you know he came over and I try to always meet and greet everybody up and down the pits, and you know he took me aside and he goes, you know, you're a little different, you know, you kind of make us feel welcome like we're supposed to be here, and want to thank you for allowing us to race in your series. And I'm going,
you were scared of the concrete shoes, we know it.
No, actually, I was amazed that you know people were thanking me to come here. And I'm going, boy, you don't know what you're in for. But no. But, you know, the whole family's been just such a, you know, an icon of racing and what it's all about. And this family stands up for it. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I know one thing I want to ask you, and that's this. Yes. Bobby's not here right now. We're just me and you talking. What have you thought of this program, the FAST program, and what it's done for your family, your race team, and your driver?
I think the FAST program is a really good program. Bobby slipped and slid a little bit here, but he's always there, and he always tries his best, and we have to forgive him for some of the other things that he does, but we live with it. Again, coming from a lot of years of racing and go-kart racing and legend cars with Anthony and on and on and on, it's really great to see these young fellas, young gals come up, and it's got to give you goosebumps when you see the respect that all of these kids have. When you talk to them, it's not yeah and yo and yeah, it's yes, sir, and no, sir, and thank you, sir. And I think we're breeding the next generation of kids. I think we're just breeding some really fine young people, whether they win races, they don't win races, whatever. I think it's giving them a hell of an education.
We got one of those on the phone. Patrick Staropoli, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, guys. How about you?
Thanks for hanging in there for me for a minute. What was it like to finally get out there and get in victory lane? A ways and outside of the series a little bit.
Well, we were racing with the Pro Truck guys this past weekend at New Smyrna, and they're always, you know, really fast through the adults. And, you know, we just went out there, and we knew it was a 100-lap race, and we tried to be patient the whole time. And, you know, it eventually worked out for us. We haven't had a whole lot of luck this year, but it seemed to come together pretty good.
How much fun was it to be up front compared to being back in the back fighting around?
Well, it's definitely a different thing. We were up front a lot in the kids' series last year, and this year we had to learn, you know, how to come from the back of the pack and how to pass people and stuff like that. So we started fourth, actually, in the race, and, you know, we passed a few guys there, and then we got up front, led some laps, you know, how to control some of the restarts. So it was a different what I've been used to the past few races, but it worked out pretty good.
Well, I don't know if you've gotten to hear tonight. We've talked to a lot of the younger racers coming out of the FAST program and stuff, and we've kind of keep asking the same question in different ways. What did the FAST program do for you? What did it do to get you set up to go where you want to go and to do what you're doing?
Well, it really gave us a place to race. When you're young, you can't find too many places where you could race a truck like what we're doing. And you can get out there with people who are kind of on the same experience level as you, and you can learn from them, and they can learn from you. And you could get the same kind of environment, you know, race situations, and learn like that, and, you know, take that and, you know, go against people with more experience, the adults and stuff like that, move on to other series.
Hey,
so
did
really
you
get a good foundation.
Did you have any special sponsors for this race? And tell us about your normal, regular sponsors that are helping you out.
Well, we had Palm Truck Centers on the truck for this race. Also, Paul's Transmissions and Snap-on. They've been helping us out all year, getting us to the races that we could. You know, as always, we're always looking for more sponsorship, especially, you know, coming out with the late model next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to seeing your name up in lights, man. You keep working hard, making it happen, okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
And every chance you get, you might want to mention the FAST program when you're in the winner's circle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, take care of yourself. Patrick Starr, polling,
thanks
ladies and
gentlemen. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks so much for hanging in there for us. We know it's been a long night for everybody as we try to get through 3 hours of radio show in 2 hours.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you guys later.
All right. I'm sure we'll talk to Patrick Starr, Poli, some other time. What's it been like to race guys like that, the younger guys like yourself that are kind of moving through the program and so forth? What's it been to go fender to fender with a guy like Patrick Starr, Poli?
It's been a little different because we raced adults in the legend cars, and the kids sort of don't give as much room as the adults, but after a while you get used to it.
Well, I know that we keep seeing more and more competition within the competition. It looks like we got a big coming out party this weekend when a lot of the kids are going to come from the kids program and take their first baby steps into the pro program. When do you think you'll be ready for that kind of a program step? You going to do it this weekend?
Oh, we might. We're not sure yet because our truck's for sale, so we don't know if we want to.
He just doesn't know if he wants to get both trophies the same weekend.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're looking forward to following it as it happens and stuff. Going back to the fathers and the mentors here, what kind of things do you want to see in the future from your racer? What kind of things are you going to wind up doing to make it, you know, so they do step out of the truck sooner or later? They get into either a late model or some other kind of car. I never hear anybody going from trucks to sprint cars. So I'm waiting for that person so I can talk to him. But what kind of things do you want to see your racer do, Carl? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think the approach that my son takes, more so than I do, is just one step at a time and graduate Anthony up from, you know, one series to the next series and conquer that series, if I may say, use that word, conquer that series and then move on to something a little bit stronger. And always keep a pretty big challenge in front of Anthony. I'm his grandfather, so I could brag on him a little bit. And I've seen this little guy racing at 4.5 years old, and he'd done a hell of a job. You know, he really did. And he's always been over his head a little bit in his competition. He's always had to step up and really put his all into racing to be successful at it. And so the answer is, you know, we just take 1 year at a time and see what happens with it. As you well know, it's kind of expensive to do this, and without hooking on to a pretty good sponsor, it's kind of tough to even go into the Hooters Cup. You know, that's real expensive racing, and that's really where I'd like to see his next step be. You know, maybe after a year or two in late models, get into the Hooters Cup, and that's a good stepping stone for NASCAR. And as we all know, NASCAR is pretty political these days, and you need to bring the big money sponsor with you. I don't think it's a matter of ability anymore. I think it's a matter of who you know and what sponsor you could bring with you, and that's the kind of ride that you could pick up. So We got a lot of good. We got a lot of good drivers out there. Got a lot of good. A lot of Anthony Campy's out there. A lot of Jessica Green's out there. A lot of Patrick Starpoli's out there. These are all great kids, and they all do a great job, and they all deserve a break. But unfortunately, only maybe 1 in 100 could get that break, or 1 in 1,000 could get that break, and that's the unfortunate part about it all.
Yeah, that is it. Carl, what are your thoughts about now your daughter and being a daughter as opposed to a son should give you a whole different perspective in the first place, I'm sure. But what's it like, and what do you think will be the next stepping stone, so to speak, for Jessica?
As far as what it's like, I mean, it's I have to say family time. We do try to do this as a family as much as possible. And the biggest thing is trying to teach her different stuff. The biggest thing is, you know, we've struggled this year with setup, but part of that is as we change things, we try to get a response back from Jessica on how she feels the truck is handling, and try to get her input on what it's doing, because if she is going to go any further in this, you cannot rely on other people. She's going to have to give input on what the vehicle is doing. So that's part of it that's going to be important for as we progress. You know, next year our plan is to run some of the fast late model series and hopefully get into a couple of the ASA races. And then we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, do you hope to have this diversity thing work in your favor in the sense that Jessica's at the right age now, that as she progresses and learns and gets good with her talent, that she'll be sitting there 4 or 5 years down the road when they're really looking for that young female driver to promote and make happen on the big picture?
Yes, I do. And fortunately, right now, we're in the position that our truck owner already drives for Joe Gibbs. And for our program next year, they've already stepped up and are going to give us a crate motor for the late model. So we're headed in that direction with them.
Hey, listen, we got to go to Frenchie. Frenchie, how's it going, buddy?
Things are going good over here. How's it doing?
I'm hanging in there. Now, Frenchie, I'm not really sure. I know Jack knows what's up here, but he's
Frenchie, what you got on your mind tonight?
Oh, man, all kinds of stuff. First of all,
I'm sure you do.
Daniel on the show there, and I wanted to give a shout out to him. He was the first junior Mini Cup driver to pass me in a adults race, and he scared the living daylights out of me seeing that little car come by me.
Did you see him waving? He said he waved at you.
Oh, yeah, he waved. I saw him pour himself a drink. you know, he's a heck of a great driver, and I wanted to give a good shout-out to him because it was a lot of fun racing him that night.
I'm afraid to say what I wanted to say earlier, but he looks like a great nickname would be Peanut.
Yeah.
And you just, know, you know, as because, I mean, he's probably not going to be the tallest kid on the block, but, I mean, he's going to be a great little racer, and that could be something that, you know, just kind of makes people know, hey, I was passed by Peanut. It's okay.
Yeah, and also, he's probably one of the few drivers that you see jump out of a Mini Cup and go, oh, that works, and then you see a guy like me jump out of a Mini Cup and go, how the heck did he get in there?
Hey, he didn't dance on your hood and go, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
No, but he did come see me, though. Okay. He did come see me, make sure he knew that I knew who he was.
I tell you what, it's awesome to have families and friends and people in racing like that, that you enjoy the racing. Even when you get beat a little bit, it's fun, and that's what it's all about. And we appreciate you taking time to point out the fact that Peanut's got personality.
Yeah, also, I heard real quick while I got you on the horn there, I wanted to shout out to J.R. Garcia. I wanted to... now that I knew that he was on there this evening, we have something big going on for that charity event in Orlando. He is going to be the driver of our Buckethead Racing, our new BucketheadRacing.com truck that we're exposing that evening, and he's going to drive in that event for us, which we're really excited about, and I think he is too as well. And also, just to let you know, we told you that when we got back from Homestead from NASCAR this past couple of weeks from the final race, what kind of show we have, and we had Mario from Royal Tees hook us up with some great T-shirts, and they went like wildfire for the Buckethead racing team, and we wanted to give thanks to them, too, because it was awesome, and we're getting ready to create some T-shirts for the Orlando event to sell as charity and give half the proceeds to the charity for Tommy Hopkins.
Awesome. Awesome job, Frenchie. We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much for visiting with us that one day you were here. And for carrying the Buckethead name forward into the future.
Orlando Speed World, December 8th and 9th.
You got it, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Frenchie, ladies and gentlemen, doing all his part to promote racing and to promote the Peanuts. Hey, listen, Anthony, a great little write-up in the magazine here. I guess this one is...
Stock Car Racing.
Stock Car Racing Magazine. How'd that come about? That's pretty cool.
Well, my uncle and aunt write all those articles after the races and stuff like that, and so I didn't even know it was in there, but she sends them out to all the magazines and stuff like that and tries to promote us as much as she can and stuff like that.
Well, she goes by the prodigy that if you write it, they will print it.
Absolutely.
Sooner or later.
So she sent them out, and then I just happened to see that in the magazine the other day, and I thought that was pretty cool.
That is awesome. That's awesome. And that was a very nice-looking truck always, too.
All right.
Pretty cool.
You know, anybody who's – we have a guest book back there in the back on
yes,
the table.
Yes, please sign
I
the guest book. We won't remember you.
If you didn't sign it, could just do that. It makes us all feel good.
We won't remember you. I'm sorry. I'll remember all your faces, but I won't remember names of everyone.
Bill, you can't.
You don't remember them when they're sitting here,
I said I wouldn't remember names.
Hey, guys, absolutely. Thanks a lot for being on the show
thank
tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Wow, we're down to it, man.
Parting
look at this
shots.
list of guests we had on tonight.
Go for it.
Unbelievable. We had Frenchie on. Tim Bryant from Five Flag Speedway.
Don't forget to tip your waiter.
Bobby.
We got fireworks this weekend.
That's right.
Bobby got fireworks. Bobby, wherever you're at, there's fireworks.
Yes.
No doubt.
Wait, sit down here for a minute. We're just wrapping up. Tell these people, hold on a minute.
Bobby Deal, Bert Thomas from the ASA, Michael Senzi, Matt Cohen, Danny Anderson, J.R. Garcia, Anthony Campy, his dad, Jessica Green. Jessica, you did an awesome job. You weren't nervous at all.
You did very good.
Her dad,
good.
Drew,
don't
walk off, and Anthony's granddad, Drew Brannon, Dalton Zier, Daniel Miller, Rick Bristol, Travis Rowland. Of course, we got to thank Evergreen Development, Budweiser, Keels and Wheels, Rick and Susan from Fast Times Production. Good to see you guys back.
Bobby, thank you for bringing all these people in here, man.
Anderson Automotive, sponsor of the Fast Truck Pros.
There you go, brother. Real quick, Bobby. Give us a rundown. What's going down this weekend?
Man, it's going to be cool. It's the Florida State Championship for the late models, and we're going to make a decision on who the best late model driver is. We're also going to have that ends up the Fast Late Model program. Also, the Fast Truck Pros will be running down their last race, double points night. The Fast Kids, man, what can we say about them? They're going to be about six or eight of them moving up. And we got the Fast Mini Cups, first time out of the box, and the Fast Drifters. Going to be a lot of smoke. Get ready for the fireworks. We're here. WWF.
Saturday night, Charlotte County Speedway, brother.
Take it to the limit.
You
got it.
Well, no, wait a minute. On the 16th, the next, we're going to do a show on the 5th of December. We're going to do a show on the 12th. We're going to take a break the 19th, the 26th. Of December, correct?
Right.
And January 3rd or 2nd, whatever it falls on.
Yeah, whatever that is. So 3 weeks we're going to be off the air. We'll be playing some other stuff. We got two more shows before we go into a little break.
Don't forget to visit the vault with us every Monday night, 7 o'clock. And we'll,
Retro Racing.
Retro Racing.
So we look forward to
back
it.
Back in the day.
The Saturday night stuff's pretty much come to an end, but you will hear a lot from the Snowball Derby this Saturday night, so hang in there with us.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Real Racing USA will be
Short
back
track
on
America.
The air next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful southern Tampa Bay.
Good night, Bobby.
Good night, everybody.
Good night now.
When the bright lights are fading. making money. You can spend all you love making time. If it all fell to pieces tomorrow, would you still be mine? When you're looking for your freedom, nobody seems to care, and you can't find the door. One more time. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. One more time. To the limit, one more time.